Welcome to the March 30th, 2008 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is presented by Cindy Johnson Huffman and is entitled Do's and Don'ts. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
It is great to see everyone this morning. We're going to go ahead and get started. First of all, welcome to College Park Baptist Church. At the ends of your pews, you will see some pew pads, and those are an opportunity for each of you to let us know that you are here this morning. So if you would, take the pew pads and fill out your information, pass them on down, and whoever's on the end, if you'll tear off those top page or pages and send them back down to the other row, and then we'll have a record of your attendance this morning. If it looks a little light this morning in worship, Mary and I have apparently usurped half of the staff positions. Raymond and Jeff have accompanied several of our youth and adults on a mission trip to the Bahamas, and I'm assuming that they made it there safely since they didn't tell me. I can't imagine why I would have to know that. And so this morning we have the singular opportunity to hear Cindy Johnson Huffman to bring a word of encouragement, and we're very thankful to have her here this morning. I'd like to call up here Laura Clayton for an announcement about GAs.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to come up here and deliver a personal thank you for the support that you showed our GAs this morning. We had a tremendous success with our Muffins for Missions. I don't have final figures yet, but I'm very encouraged by what I've seen. And I wanted to let you know that we baked 225 muffins on Saturday morning. They were all handmade by our GAs. And we probably have 3 or 4 dozen remaining that did not get eaten this morning. So if anybody would like to stop by and pick one up, we will have a donation basket out on your way when you leave the chapel this morning or this afternoon. Maybe you can have breakfast tomorrow, courtesy of our GAs. Thank you very much for your support.
A quick word about April the 19th. Everyone should save that date. Morning. Do you want to say something about it? I'd rather you say it. Cause... come on, Gary. Gary Elkins.
Good morning. Ward was going to remind everybody about April the 19th, which is our next Team I Am work day. I guess that's 3 weeks from yesterday. And I did want to say this morning, if you got a pencil and a piece of paper and want to write this phone number down, let me give you this number. The number is 251-1291, 251-1291. That's my number at work. And the reason I'm going to give it to you is if you're going to work that day or you're pretty sure you're going to work, just call me and leave me a message at work and tell me that. I want to get some idea of a head count. We have identified about 4 projects that we could potentially do that day. And we would like to do all of them, but obviously we have to know how many people we're going to have. So until we can commit to all of them or 2 of them or 3 of them or whatever, I need to get some kind of idea of a head count. So if you know you're going to be there, just call that number, say, this is so-and-so, I'll be there, that's all I need to know, and I can sort of start pulling this together. But I hope to see everybody, and we'll have a little more information over the next couple of weeks, but April 19th. I guess that's about all right now. And of course, we'll be having the clothing drive that day as well. Barbie Morgan and some other folks will be running that. So if you have any questions, just come see me. We're keeping the nursery this morning, but you can catch me after church. Thanks a lot.
I'm so glad you came in when you did that. I had none of that information, but thank you. So save the date for April 19th for the Team I Am opportunity. This week, there will be no Wednesday night activities. However, tonight we will have a live worship service, and we will have the opportunity to listen to our own Brian Edmonds preach the word. So we're very excited about that. So we encourage all of you to attend tonight at 7 o'clock. Also, coming up at the end of April is our annual revival. And so we just wanted to say a quick word about that so you could be in prayer for that. It's April 27th through the 30th, I believe. And I believe Raymond told me the theme for this year's revival would be Sideswipe. So we're going to have the pleasure of Randy Weeks returning to preach at our revival. Many of you saw last year. So keep your hearts in prayer for that, and we look forward to that. Also, next Sunday is a special day, so make sure you're here. We will have communion and baptism, and that's always a singular important time in the life of our church to welcome new members with a profession of faith. Most importantly, we would like to welcome our visitors this morning. Our ushers are going to come down the aisle, and we don't want to embarrass you, but if you would, as they return, put up a hand, and they will give you a little information about our church. You've already given us some of your information. We'd like to return the favor. Just a quick word about our ministries, how we do worship here. And speaking of worship, it is something that we value here at College Park, and we like to think that we do it very well. It is right that we are here this morning. And so now, as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship, I invite you to stand with me and to open your bulletin to the invitation to share in worship. And I invite you to read the dark print after I read the light print. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me.
Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken.
Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices.
My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay.
You have made known to me the path of life.
You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
Let's pray. Lord, as we come into your presence this morning, let us be aware that you are truly here among us, knowing that your word says where two or three are gathered, you will be here. And so, Lord, this morning as we sing, Lord, help us to sing fervently to you, knowing that you're listening. Lord, as we pray, help us to pray passionately, knowing that you care about the desires of our heart. And Lord, as we hear from your word, Lord, help us to listen attentively to your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to be aware this morning of your unending, unconditional love. Help us to know that in our midst, Lord, you're here to meet with us. Lord, that it's not just you're here because you're everywhere, Lord, but you're here because you want to be with us and you want us to know you. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning as we worship, Lord, that we would know you intimately, that it would change lives, Lord, that it would call us to serve you passionately, daily. Lord, help us to love you. Help us to love others with your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come forward. Have a seat up here. Still a few others. Good morning. How are you guys today? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been on a family vacation? Yeah? Where'd you go?
We had a friend of ours, and we used to, they had a beach house, and we would sometimes go up there.
Go to the beach?
They have a little dock that you can go fishing on, and
my dad caught a crab. Yeah, go to the beach. You guys get to the beach, go fishing, go swimming in the ocean? Is that something? Where else? How many have ever been, dare I say it, to Disney World? Just one? You on your way?
Oh, okay. Well, at the end of these vacations, these trips that we go on, what about when it comes time to go home? We ever want to go home?
No.
Oh, yeah. We always want to stay and have some fun. That's right. Well, today we're learning about a story in the Bible where Jesus, when he was a young child, went on a trip with his family. They don't talk about... Yes, okay. Jesus went with his parents, Mary and Joseph, to Jerusalem. Everybody paying attention? Everybody looking at me? All right. And so when it was time for them to go home from the temple, Mary and Joseph couldn't find Jesus. And so they thought he had already gone on ahead of them. And so they left. And it turns out Jesus had stayed in the temple. Because whenever you get separated from your parents, you stay where you are. That's rule number one. But how do you think his parents felt when they came back and found him there in the temple? He was growed up. They were relieved. That's right. Do you think they might have had a come to Jesus meeting with him? You think so? I know my parents would. But you know what he said to them? He said, I was here doing my Father's work. Now, I am not suggesting that you guys get separated from your parents. That's bad. What I am suggesting is that you take time every day, stay with your parents, and listen to what God may be telling you. Okay? Can y'all do that this week? Right, if you're at school, you'll be with your teachers. That's okay. So will you guys pray with me real fast? All right. Dear God, we just thank you for lessons like these that just challenge us to listen to you, to know that you're at work in our lives and that we have the ability to do your work in the world around us. So this week we pray for opportunities like that. And we pray that we're always mindful of those that are there to help us and those that are there to teach us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all go sit down.
Next, if you'd like to open your Bibles with us, this morning's scripture reading comes entirely from the New Testament. Let's see. Our first reading will come from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put the finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. But do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Next, we turn to the book of Acts, the second chapter, verse 14, and then continuing verses 22 through 32. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently to our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with him an oath that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. And finally, from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. May God bless the reading and understanding of these words. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, it is right that we hear these stories this morning, that we learn from example about doubting, about being tested, and that you always come to the rescue. Blessed God, we ask now that your Spirit fall on this place in this time of worship. We ask that it be your voice alone these next few moments that is heard and your presence felt. We thank you for the freedom to worship here. We thank you for the freedom to be here whenever we choose, because we know that is something that so many take for granted. Without you, Father, there is no reason to praise, to pray, to read the scriptures. We're not compelled to do so unless you do it. And so these next moments, we ask that you bless our worship and that you come in fellowship with us. These things we ask in your Son's name. Amen.
Everyone needs compassion, love its name. forgives. Kindness of a Savior. Hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever offer of salvation.
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for this day that you have made, the rain, the flowers, the new beginnings. We thank you for the opportunity to come together in this place to worship you. We thank you for your Son who died for us and rose from the dead to live with us forever. Now we ask your blessings on the gifts we are about to receive. Use these gifts according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you so much for your salvation, the salvation that you give to us. And Lord, as we come together on this beautiful day that you have given to us, and as we open up your word and begin to study, I pray that you would teach us your truths. I pray that you would be all that is seen, all that is heard, all that is known. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. This morning, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that Ward made mention to. And it's a passage that has fascinated me for the last several years. I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse 41. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then they went down to Nazareth. He went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This passage is so rich to me. And as I began to sit down and study, I came up with a list so long of things we could learn. And I thought, we're going to be in church until they get back from the Bahamas. And I decided y'all didn't like that, so I condensed it just a little bit. And I want to share a few things with you this morning that God has shown me out of this passage. And the first one comes from verse 43. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. The first thing that I think we can glean from this passage is this: don't leave Jesus at the celebration. Mary and Joseph didn't mean to. They did not intentionally leave him there. When it was time for them to go, they thought he was with them, and so they left. But my question to you is, how many times do we leave Jesus at the celebration? We leave him at Christmas, or we leave him at Easter. The week leading up to Easter, we had so many wonderful Holy Week services, and then we celebrated Easter. But how many times did you really think and celebrate Jesus this week? Or did you leave him at the celebration? Or maybe that big, huge trial in your life that you prayed and prayed and you just asked God to heal you, and he did, and you were so excited and so grateful. But then once he brought you out of that, you just left him there. We can't leave Jesus at the celebration. Psalm 118:24 says this: "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Today is just as beautiful of a day as last Sunday. We are to celebrate him every single day for all of the blessings he has given us. How dare we leave him somewhere? Psalm 96:2 says, "Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day." Day after day. Not just once a year, not just once a week. Don't leave him at the celebration. The second thing I think we can learn is in verse 44. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. The second truth is, don't rely on anyone else's view of Jesus. See, Mary thought Joseph had him. Joseph thought Mary had him. Or maybe they both thought that, you know, he was with somebody else, because there's a whole group of them. It says they were family and friends that were traveling. And they were just depending on the fact that somebody had Jesus. But we can't do that. And we do as Christians. See, here's the thing. Everything that I'm sharing with you this morning, you should not trust me. You should go home and recheck every scripture and everything that I share with you, because you shouldn't depend on me. God calls you. God calls you to look and you to search. You can't depend on my view. There was a song years ago called "God Ain't Never Had a Grandchild." And I loved that song, because if you think about that truth, just because your mom and daddy are believers doesn't mean you're just going to get grandfathered right into heaven, does it? It's got to be a personal thing. And the same is true with Jesus. We've got to be taking a personal look at him, not what your husband thinks or what your Sunday school teacher thinks or what Raymond thinks. It's about you and him. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." It doesn't say, let your best friend fix their eyes on Jesus and they'll just kind of tell you. It says, fix our eyes on Jesus. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Now, here's something interesting. It says, "Taste and see." Can anybody else taste for you? Can anybody else taste for you? That's a personal thing, right? You can tell me what you think it tastes like, or you can tell me if it's good or bad, but you can't taste it for me. I have to do it. And that's what they're saying. Taste and see for yourself. I have a friend who is she makes amazing cakes and muffins and cookies and pound cakes and all that kind of stuff. But every time she bakes one, She cuts out a little slice of it to taste it and make sure it's good. And I think that's a beautiful truth. Because why would I want to give somebody something that I made that's no good? And why would I want to depend on what somebody else says about Jesus when I have the privilege of tasting for myself? So don't leave Jesus at the celebration. Don't rely on somebody else's view of Jesus. And the third thing is still in verse 44. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Don't move unless Jesus is with you. Don't move. Don't take a step without him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know this, but listen to this verse in light of that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. See, there are a lot of times when I think I have a really good idea, and I am just sure this is from God, and this is what God wants me to do, and I start down that path, and I realize I am totally wrong. And I realize I have made a grave error. And I turn around and I realize Jesus is not with me. And we do that a lot in our church and in our personal lives and in all the decisions that we make. We come up with this great plan and we start traveling. We are journeying. And then we have to stop and say, hey, wait a second. I'm not really sure Jesus is with us. I thought you had Jesus. Well, I thought you had Jesus. It says, lean not on your own understanding. When we take a moment and we stop, is Jesus really traveling with us? The road that you are traveling right now, can you say beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've got Jesus right here with me. And this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. Because if not, then maybe you need to change your direction. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. It's not. If I were in charge of things, I would be in the wrong place. So don't leave him at the celebration. Don't depend on somebody else's view of him. And thirdly, don't make a move without him. Don't make a move without him. So, okay, well, let's look at verse 45. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. So here's the deal. They've been traveling on for a day and they start looking among their family and friends and they realize Jesus isn't with us. And so here's what Mary and Joseph did. They went back to the place they last saw him. For some of us this morning, that's what we need to do. We do need to go back to the place that we last saw Jesus. If there was a point in your life where you and Jesus were like this, you were tight and you were right there in the center and he knew exactly where he wanted you to be and things were going great. And now you're not at that place anymore. Then maybe you need to do like this passage says and maybe you need to turn around and go back to that place. I know Jesus was with me this far and then I kind of started journeying on my own. So I need to go back here and I need to find Jesus again. And then when I find where he is, then I can start down that correct path. Instead of taking my own steps. Joel chapter 2 says this, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. And maybe you say, well, Cindy, I did leave Jesus, but that was so long ago that I am scared to even go back. Don't be, because this verse says he is gracious and compassionate. When you come back to him, he's not going to tell you off and start yelling at you. Now, maybe there are some things in your life that you need to change and he'll tell you that. But I promise you, he is going to be standing just like this when you go back and you find him. He is ready and waiting. And that verse says, rend your heart and not your garments. God wants your heart to be clean. God wants your heart to be clear. So we've got three don'ts so far. Don't, y'all talk back to me. Don't leave him at the celebration. All right, what's the second one? Don't rely on anybody else's view. What's the third one? Don't move without him. And now we've got our first do, which is go back to the place you first saw him. Look at verse 46. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. The second do is do keep searching until you find him. It took them 3 days to find Jesus. Now, first of all, think about what was going on. Those of you that have kids, think about what was going on during those 3 days. We're just going to kind of use our holy imagination here for just a second. I think Mary was probably thinking, I'm the worst mother in the history of the world. Not only, you know, am I the mother of Jesus, but now I've left him somewhere. So I am terrible. And she was probably a little mad at Joseph. Joseph, why didn't you have him? And Joseph was probably a little mad at her. I thought you were checking on him. Then they were probably thinking, what's everybody going to say? Can you believe that we're going to have to turn around and go back and these people are going to tell us we're awful parents? Can you imagine the anxiety that they were feeling? What could have happened? What if he got hurt? What if we never find him? I mean, it's endless. And they went through that for 3 days. But they didn't give up. They didn't say, oh, well, this is too hard. This is just a little more complicated. And, you know, being a parent was a little more difficult than we thought. So we're just going to kind of leave him. We'll teach him a lesson. They didn't say that. They kept searching until they found him. And you know what's interesting? Is they were without him for 3 days. Does that remind you of anything that we looked at last week? Is that possibly a foreshadowing of him being dead and rising again on the third day? There are times in our life when we really do search for Jesus, but we don't find him immediately. And the situation just keeps getting worse and we keep getting more hurt and we keep getting more frustrated and we want to give up and we want to just throw in the towel. And, you know, I tried to look for him, but I couldn't find him. Don't give up. This passage says you keep looking. You keep looking. And you know why you do that? Because Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. No questions. If you are searching and God knows your heart, and if you are searching with all that you have and with all that you are, and you really want to find him, you're going to find him. Because the Bible says it. So keep searching until you find him. Go back to the place where you last saw him and keep searching until you find him. The third one, look in verse 47. So they found him, right? Here they go back to the temple and they found him. And verse 47 says this, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. So Mary and Joseph go back and they find their little boy in the temple and he's sitting there and he's teaching and he's listening and he's sharing and everybody is like, I mean, everybody's just got their jaw dropped at how smart he is and how wise he is and how much understanding he has. What can we learn from that is that we do need to listen and be amazed by Jesus. When is the last time that you really sat down and thought, wow, I cannot believe that you love me like this? He did not have to love you. When is the last time that you sat down and read some of these scriptures or sat down with friends and talked about things that were going on in your spiritual lives and you were just amazed? Because as human beings, we love to share good news. We love to share and we love to talk and we love to celebrate with each other. And we're amazed at all these wonderful things. But we need to be amazed by Jesus. And we need to listen to Jesus. Matthew 7:28-29 says this. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. We don't always understand everything that he tries to teach us. We certainly don't always understand the things that he does. But have you ever had those times where it didn't make any sense and then all of a sudden you got it? But you're not going to see those things. You're not going to be amazed if you don't sit down and listen and allow yourself to be amazed. Because he shows us his glory every moment of every day. It's just a matter of, are we seeing it? And are we allowing ourselves to be amazed? I want you to look in verse 51. This is after his parents have found him and they have said, "We've been looking for you. Where have you been?" They were probably frustrated and scared and relieved and happy and crying and all at the same time. And verse 51 says this, "Then he, Jesus, went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart." The last do is that we do need to treasure Jesus. Now, what do I mean by that? If you look a little bit earlier in chapter 2, right after the story of the shepherds and they have been told, you know, a child is going to be born. If you look in verse 19, the same thing. "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." Mary was really good at treasuring these moments and these lessons. Now, what does it mean to treasure something? We treasure all different kinds of things. But Steve and I got engaged on a Saturday. And the Tuesday following that, I had surgery on my elbow. Now, I was very frustrated by that because I had this beautiful ring that I wanted to wear and I was going to have to take it off. So I gave my mom specific instructions. You know, they take you back and they start prepping you and they start the, you know, good juice to kind of get you a little, you know, and they start all that. And I told my mom, I said, "Mom, this ring is to be the last thing that is taken off of my body before they take me away. And I want you to put it in the ring box and I want you to hold it on your person until I get out. And when I get out, this is the first thing that is to be done when I'm out of surgery. I don't care how big my finger is, you were going to shove that ring back on my finger." Because I treasured that. Now, of course, I got out of surgery. There was no way that ring was going on. And so do you know what I did? I kept it in the box and I would just look at it. And I would just sit in the living room, you know, trying to recover, and I couldn't hardly move my arm, and I would just look at it. Because I treasured it. It was something that was very important to me. But do I treasure Jesus that much? Do I treasure him? Do I think of him all the time? And do I desire him? And do I desire the things of him? Do I treasure him? Because you know what scripture says. You all know this verse. Luke 12, 34 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I want my heart to be with Jesus. I want him to be my treasure. I want him to be what I think of when I wake up, all throughout the day, and what I think of before I go to sleep. Do I do that every day? No. Do I want to do that every day? Yes. Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. So just a few lessons from this passage. Don't leave him at the celebration. Don't rely on somebody else's view of Jesus. Don't move unless he's with you. Those are three don'ts, but we got four do's this morning. Do go back to the last place you saw him. Do keep searching till you find him. Do listen and be amazed. And do treasure. And so I want to ask you this morning, which one of those, or which ones of those, do you know you need to work on? Have you left him? Did you leave him at Easter, but you're looking forward to seeing him again at Christmas? Or are you celebrating every day with him? When's the last time you dug deep into the Word yourself instead of just listening to Raymond or your Sunday school teacher? Are you moving in a direction right now that you don't need to be moving in? Because here's the great news. If you are, all you got to do is turn around. He is gracious and compassionate. Go back to where you last saw him. And you may not find him this afternoon. It may take a few days, but you got to keep searching till you find him. Because I promise you, you keep searching for that treasure. When you find him, it is better than you could ever possibly imagine. When's the last time you listened and were amazed by him? And lastly, where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? This morning, we're going to give you the opportunity to come forward and pray if you would like to. Maybe God's really spoken to you and you just want to come forward and pray right here. I'm going to be standing here, but you don't have to come to me. You can if you want. If you want to come and you want to pray about some of these things, then we invite you to do that. If you want to come and you don't even have a relationship with Christ, you've never even begun that journey with him, then I'd love for you to come forward. I'd love to share how you can begin that journey. Maybe you just want somebody to pray with you. Grab somebody. Come to me. We'll pray for you and with you. Or maybe you would like to join this church this morning. And you are more than welcome to do that. This is a body of believers that searches and loves the Lord. And we'd love for you to join us here. The most important thing this morning is, where are you in your relationship? And if you know, if He is working in your heart and you know that something needs to change, then please don't leave here before you get that worked out. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank You so much for Your grace and Your mercy. And I thank You for the beautiful things that You show us in Your Word. And I thank You for the truth of it. I thank You that it never ends. I thank You that You never change. And God, this morning, as we come to this time of invitation, Lord, what it is it's an invitation to come to You. Or an invitation to come back to You. And God, I just ask that Your Holy Spirit would move in this place in such a way that each one of us would know exactly what we need to do in these moments. Father, this is Your time. We offer it to You. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand with me? For just a moment, I have the privilege of introducing to you Bethany Minster, all of you guys know her, but she comes this morning, and she has already made a profession of faith, and she said, I want to be baptized next week. So we're going to have a whole bunch of folks that are going to be baptized next week, so that's exciting. So if you will agree to encourage and pray for Bethany in her journey, would you say amen?
Amen.
And we're going to ask her to stand up here, and her folks are going to come up here, and I know you're going to want to come and share with her and love on her after the service. You can have a seat, and we'll bring you back up in just a second. I want to pray for you, but before we do that, we do want to invite you back tonight to our life service that begins at 7 o'clock in Smith Hall, and Brian Edmonds is going to be speaking tonight, and he said he was cutting it down to 3 hours. So you should be out of here in plenty of time to get back to work. So thank you for being here this morning, and I want to pray for you. Father God, we love you so much, and we thank you for loving us. And I thank you so much for Bethany and for her making this public profession that she loves you and she wants to serve you. And Lord, we pray that you would put a protective hedge around her and that you would teach her beautiful truths and that you would grow her up to be the woman of God that you created her to be. Lord, bless her family in this special time. And Father, we just love you and we ask that you put safety and grace around our mission team that is traveling right now. Father, give them health and rest and safety and use them to further your kingdom. Father, thank you for allowing us to meet with you this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.